Just one more thing. On becoming a land-first Android infrastructure engineer, starting today! For those who suspect the future might already be here, quietly waiting to be noticed. There's a peculiar feeling that comes over you when you realize that the difficult thing you've been putting off, the thing that seemed to require years of study, specialized knowledge, and perhaps a computer science degree, has already been done. Not by some genius in a secret laboratory, but by ordinary people who simply noticed that the pieces were lying around, ready to be assembled. Grab onto your butt, because this is one of those moments. Everything I'm about to describe exists. It works. It is, in the most literal sense, waiting for you to pick it up and use it, like a ripe cluster of grapes hanging at exactly the right height, requiring nothing more than the simple act of reaching out. The secret nobody bothered to mention. Here is a fact that will change how you think about your phone. The Android operating system, that vast and complex thing running in your pocket, can be accessed programmatically through something called Native Script. It is a JavaScript-based system, which is to say, the language of the web, that exposes the entire Android API through a beautifully simple dotted notation. Want to access the camera? There's a path for that. Want to read the contact list? There is a path for that, too. Want to trigger a notification, adjust the volume, or query the battery status? All of it, exposed, documented, accessible, done. Now here is the interesting part. Native Script can run a background service. And that background service can open up a network socket. And that socket can listen on your local network. Do you see where this is going? Your phone, that sealed, corporate, cloud-hungry device, can expose its capabilities to your local network. Your laptop, your Raspberry Pi, your home server, any of them can connect to that socket and interact with that Android's internals. Not through some approved App Store application with advertisements and tracking, but through code you control running on hardware that you own. The fruit, as I said, is already there. The socket is waiting for your LAN plug. The conversational revolution that you have already experienced. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you genuinely enjoyed using a menu? When did you last think, "What a pleasure it is to navigate through these nested options, clicking and scrolling, hunting for the thing I actually want"? Nobody thinks this. Menus are tolerated. They are the tax we pay for functionality. But you have already experienced something different. You have already used a conversational interface. It is how you communicate with today's AI. You know what it feels like to simply ask for what you want and receive it. No windows, no icons, no menus, no pointer, just language, the oldest and most natural interface humans have. Now imagine this applied to your phone.
Back up my photos to the server. Show me everything I photographed last Tuesday.
Make my phone silent until tomorrow morning, except for calls from family. These aren't science fiction prompts. These are the kinds of things you could say today if you had a system capable of translating your words into appropriate API calls. And that system, it's called an AI coding assistant. And you almost certainly have access to one. The one-off program. A new way of thinking. Here is a concept that may take a moment to fully absorb. You do not need to create applications anymore. Nope. You do not need to design interfaces, plan architectures, or think about distribution and updates. Yuck! You can simply describe what you want and have an AI construct a one-off program that accomplishes exactly that task. Think about what this means. Traditional software development assumes you're building something that will be used many times, by many people, in many situations. You invest enormous effort in generality, in handling edge cases, in creating interfaces that work for everyone. But most of the things you actually want from your phone are specific. You want this particular task done right now. You want your workout playlist refreshed with 70s ballads instead of 90s country. You want your photos from the beach trip moved to a particular folder on your private server. You want a reminder that triggers when you arrive at a specific location. For these tasks, a one-off program is perfect. The AI writes it, it runs, it accomplishes the task, it is done. It can even create an undo program to do the reverse. AI would have no trouble with that at all. No installation, no updates, no wondering if the app developer is tracking you. They would be. Just a small piece of code that exists for exactly as long as it's needed. Then it vanishes into a morning mist. If this feels strange, it's only because you've been trained to think of programs as permanent things. They don't have to be. They can be ephemeral, task-specific, conjured on demand, and discarded when complete. A note on scripts on phones and why it matters. There was once a beautiful project called SL4A, the scripting layer for Android. It allowed you to write JavaScript that ran directly on your phone, accessing Android's capabilities without the overhead of building a full application. And what a wonderful idea that is. I remember it fondly. There I was, supposedly at the gym to exercise, instead pecking away at a tiny keyboard, writing an interval timer. The script wasn't elegant. It violated several principles of good software design, but it worked. It played DTMF tones over my workout music, marking the transition between rest and exercise. You cannot begin serious training without an interval timer, and rather than downloading some ad-supported app that wanted access to my contacts and location for reasons I couldn't fathom, I wrote my own, in perhaps 20 minutes, on the phone itself. SL4A, unfortunately, faded away
as projects sometimes do.
But its spirit, the idea that your phone should be programmable by you, for your purposes, without corporate intermediaries, that spirit is more achievable now than ever. Today, you don't even need to peck at a tiny keyboard. You could simply say,
make me an MP3 that alternates between announcements of 1 minute rest and 3 minutes workout.
The AI would generate it. Your LAN server would inject it into your music folder. And you'd have fresh, personalized workout audio every single day. What a joy that would be. This is not hypothetical. This is what becomes possible when you connect the pieces that are actually available.
The power you borrow from your LAN. Internet-based AI companies face a fundamental constraint. Phones are slow, really slow. They have limited processing power, limited memory, limited thermal headroom. Any AI that runs on the device itself must be small, nay, tiny, extremely limited, a baby version of what's actually possible. But here's the beautiful thing about LAN-first architecture. Your phone doesn't need to be the brain. It shouldn't. It only needs to be connected to the brain, which makes perfect sense. Your desktop computer, sitting idle most of the day, could run a powerful local AI model. Your home server could coordinate tasks and store data. The processing happens where power is. The phone simply provides access to its sensors and actuators, its cameras, microphones, screens, and speakers, while the heavy thinking happens elsewhere. This isn't just about privacy, though the privacy benefits are substantial. It's about capability. The AI that helps you on a LAN-first system can be vastly more powerful than anything that could run on a phone alone. It can understand context, large context windows. It can remember your preferences. It can coordinate complex multi-step tasks, all without sending your data to corporate servers, all running on hardware you control. On the matter of security experts, I must address something delicate here. If you describe these ideas to certain security professionals, they will become quite alarmed. They will talk about attack surfaces and exposed APIs and the dangers of network accessible services. They are not wrong exactly. These are real concerns that deserve serious attention, of course. But they are concerns that can be addressed. Encryption exists. Authentication exists. Android's permission system exists. The fact that something could be misconfigured and attacked does not mean it cannot be used well. That's how the whole internet works. The deeper issue is this. Traditional security thinking operates within the existing infrastructure. It assumes phones will talk to the cloud, that data will flow through corporate servers, that the current architecture is fixed, and our job is merely to secure it. An infrastructure engineer thinks differently. They ask, what if the architecture itself is the problem? What if we build something better? Please understand that what you're building isn't a deviation from security.
It's a different approach to security. One where you control the boundaries. One where your data never leaves your network. One where the attack surface is your LAN, not the entire internet. Your first afternoon. Let me describe what your first afternoon as a LAN-first infrastructure engineer might look like. You tell your favorite coding AI assistant, let's say, to create a native script background service that exposes the Android photo role over a secure local network socket. The AI writes the code, you install it on your phone, a service starts running, listening quietly on your home network. Then you ask AI to create a simple Node.js server that connects to this service. You ask for a minimalist interface, perhaps a CSS grid layout that displays your photos in a clean, browsable format. The AI writes this too. You run it on your laptop or your home server, and suddenly, there they are, your photos, displayed on your own terms, stored on your own hardware, accessible without advertisements or tracking or corporate terms of service. You didn't download an app. You didn't create an account. You didn't agree to anything. You simply described what you wanted, and the pieces came together. This is not the most sophisticated system you'll eventually build. But it's the first step. And like all first steps, it teaches you more than the steps that follow. You learn about network communication. You learn about Android's permission model. You learn about the interplay between different pieces of software running in different devices. Most importantly, you learn that you can do this, that the pieces really are available, that the fruit really is ripe. The voice in your kitchen. Let me paint a picture of where this leads. It's morning. You're making coffee. You say to the air, "What's on my calendar today?" A voice responds. Your own system, running on your own hardware, consulting your own calendar data. It tells you about your meetings, your appointments, the birthday you nearly forgot.
"Remind me to buy a gift when I'm near the mall."
Done.
"And send my photos from yesterday to the family album."
Transferring now. None of this went through a corporate server. None of it was analyzed for advertising opportunities. None of it contributed to a profile of your habits and preferences stored in some data center you'll never see. Yuck. This is what local first, LAN first infrastructure makes possible. Not a diminished version of your cloud experience, but a fuller one. One where convenience and privacy aren't attacking one another. One where your technology actually belongs to you. Why the AI might resist. I should mention something you'll likely encounter. If you ask a public AI service to help you expose Android APIs over a network, it may hesitate. It may warn you about security implications. It may suggest safer alternatives. This is understandable. Public AI systems are cautious by design, and exposing APIs over a network can indeed be dangerous if done carelessly. The AI isn't wrong to be concerned. But you are not building a public system.
You are building your own infrastructure for your own use on your own network. The security model is completely different. The threat model is different. You can and should implement proper authentication, encryption, and access controls. That's always important to practice. But you can also do things that would be irresponsible on the public internet. This is why, eventually, you may want your own local AI, one that understands your context, your goals, your security posture, one that doesn't need to assume the worst because it knows you're operating in a controlled environment. But for now, a little persistence with public API systems will usually get you what you need. Explain your context. Explain your security measures. Ask for help implementing proper safeguards. The AI will likely cooperate once it understands that you're being responsible.
The fruit is waiting.
I want to end where I began, with that image of ripe fruit waiting to be picked. There are moments in technology when everything is ready, but no one has quite realized it yet. The pieces exist, the documentation exists, the tools exist. All that's missing is someone to put them together.
This is one of those moments.
Native script exists and works. AI coding assistants exist and are remarkably capable. The concept of land-first architecture is sound and achievable. Everything you need to build a new kind of relationship with your phone is available. Right now, today.
You don't need a computer science degree. You don't need years of experience.
You need curiosity, persistence, and the willingness to ask an AI for help when you get stuck. The socket is waiting for your server JS. The APIs are documented and accessible. The future is already here, distributed across package managers and documentation sites, waiting for someone to assemble it. That someone might as well be you. Go get your fruit. Build the missing layer. Own your phone. Own your data. And remember, when in doubt, just ask. The AI is here to help.